Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Face Connecticut here on WTIC and WTIC-FM as we run through the month of September. Kind of a medical show to present to you this morning. We have two guests. One is a general practitioner at the University of Connecticut Health Center, and we're going to be talking about all the recent changes in Medicare, Medicaid, and the new health care, the ACA, Affordable Health Care Act, and how that's affecting general practitioners, the number of them, and so forth and so on. And then later in the program, we've got an ophthalmologist from Meriden who's going to be talking about a new procedure he's doing to treat glaucoma. So it should be pretty interesting. Our first guest, again, from the UConn Health Center, a primary care resident, Dr. Runjan Misra, is here with us. Doctor, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to have you on the program. Now, as we mentioned in the billboard, you're a general practitioner, or becoming a general practitioner, primary care. You're an internal medicine specialist, correct?
I am.
Yeah. And that's generally considered general practice, correct?
It is. You're absolutely right.
The role of the so-called general practitioner has changed a lot in the past, even 10 years. But prior to that, everyone, I think, my age, 50s or so, remembers a local doc where you go to see him, whether you got a cold or an eye disease or anything. And the actual role of the general practitioner has changed quite a bit. And there's a lot of problems because it's hard to make a decent amount of money. What do you see as a major change in the role of general practitioners as we go forward with still more changes coming?
Well, I think the role has changed, like you mentioned. There's three main, I think, hallmarks of primary care medicine that primary care physicians always strive to follow. One is preventative care. The second is care coordination for chronically ill patients. And the third one is continuity of care. And these put together, they ensure that the patients have somewhere that they can go initially, get the workup done.
Yep.
And, you know, if they are really sick, then they can be led through gates to specialists.
Right.
In most very well-advanced countries, you have a healthcare pyramid where the base is made up of the generalist, whether that's a family medicine doctor, whether it's a pediatrician, whether it's a general internist, a general medicine doctor like myself, or an osteopathic physician. Based on that pyramid, then you have secondary specialists if you have, you know, a complicated problem. Or if you have a very rare medical problem, you have even tertiary specialists.
Right, like a surgeon who may be operating on a kidney
specific medical problem, and those are usually found at big university centers. The problem that we're having now is that we're having a lesser and lesser number of physicians going into primary care. Before, you know, even 60 years ago, we have for the 50% of our medical base was made up of primary care physicians. We're less than 30% now. And only one in, less than one out of five medical graduates wants to go into being a primary care physician.
Is that primarily due to economic reasons?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's a major reason for a lot of people going into medicine. Going in, the average, you know, graduate has about $200,000 in loans. A lot of people that I know personally have a lot more than that. But the average number is close to $200,000. You know, when you think about how much reimbursement we get compared to other specialists, it's sometimes, you know, a fourth or even up to an eighth less. So when you're doing more work, which, you know, generalists have to do because they're coordinating care from everywhere, and they are essentially gatekeepers or used to be, you're not getting enough compensation to even stay afloat in a lot of the cases.
So you've got to sort of operate on a like a general store sort of thing, more people and more volume, and that creates more problems for everyone because now you got more paperwork and you got to hire more people.
Exactly.
It kind of feeds on itself, doesn't it?
Exactly. And I think that brings us to one of the other things you had mentioned in the past is the Affordable Health Care Act. Right now, as we stand, in 2012, in 2010 we had a 20,000 physician deficit. And they're projecting by 2025, they'll have a deficit anywhere from 114,000 doctors to 214,000.
Right.
And by 2014, we're expecting that the amount of insured people is going to increase by 32 million.
So everything's sort of working against you at this point.
It is.
Because we're going to send you more people and pay you less.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. And it doesn't make sense because, you know, if you're having so many more newly uninsured people coming in, they're going to need physicians who will be able to do, you know, the full history and physical, who can know them as people first before sending them to specialists.
Mm-hmm.
And if we start sending those 32 million people to specialists, it'll only be one part of the problem that we know. It's like the tip of the iceberg. The whole iceberg's going to be hidden under the ocean, so to say.
Because a specialist who is getting folks that may not be in his specialty is going to start to wonder, why are you coming to see me in the first place?
Exactly.
And a lot of folks will just give up at that point.
Right, and that's one of the problems, because the average wait time right now is about 3 weeks to see a physician. And if you think
a general practitioner?
A general practitioner,
wow.
Correct.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, you know, if you have a little cold or something, and say you're a smoker, so you have a little bit of a risk factor there, and you want to get in to see a physician, and you can't do that for 3 weeks, a little problem, you know, that could have been avoidable actually becomes this huge crisis at the end of the 3 weeks or a month, and you actually end up going to the ED. And there, of course, you know, you get a multitude of tests done, the healthcare costs go up,
exactly.
But you're not necessarily receiving the right kind of treatment that you should have been in the first place.
Exactly. So everything gets significantly more expensive as you go.
Exactly.
And not necessarily if you could only just have prevented all that by having the access in the first place.
Right.
But I don't think the general public realizes that. I don't think the general public has really even a good basic understanding about how the system works.
Right, and I don't think a lot of physicians really understand either. And I think because a lot of healthcare now is dictated by insurance companies, it's hard to really do the right thing a lot of the times. We have to see primary care physicians as the gatekeepers. We have to see them as a frontline defense, you know, so to say. And it's not that anyone is trying to restrict care, but if you know the patient, you know, as a person, as a whole, then you have a better understanding of what they need.
Yeah.
Not everyone needs to go to a cardiologist just because you heard something or just because there's something on the EKG.
Right.
General practitioners have all the training to take care of problems.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, should they need specialized care, of course, you know, we're going to let them through and get them to the right people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the kind of advertisement that goes on just in the media, patients feel like they have a right to go to anyone they want, you know, and not through the right course.
And even if they don't see the right person for the right thing.
Right.
Which is crazy, because all you're doing is driving up the cost for everybody.
Exactly. And a lot of insurances now don't even need the gatekeeper, so to say. People can self-refer themselves.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that a lot of insurance companies now are not requiring referrals.
Right. And
why is that?
Well, I think they're trying to give the patient a little bit more autonomy. And I think they're offering so-called better plans if you're willing to pay more.
Right.
So you have more access to more physicians. That's not necessarily the right thing to do.
Yeah, and they seem to be, assuming that the average person knows what's wrong with them and knows what to do, which is really a big assumption.
Right. I think, you know, it's a multi-level problem. I mean, take the example from a few weeks ago, Rosie O'Donnell, when she had the symptoms of a heart attack.
Right.
She went online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she plugged in her symptoms and the computer spat out, you might be having a heart attack.
Right.
Take an aspirin.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up getting very lucky, you know, in the fact that she lived through the night to go to the ER the next morning.
Right.
But having so much information and access to so much information can actually, you know, be a deterrent.
And confusing for
and
a lot
very
of folks.
Confusing because there's a reason that, you know, we spend so many years in med school and do extensive training after med school. It's to be able to, you know, see things that the average person will not be able to identify.
Right.
And I think, you know, there's obviously good and bad with every technology, but knowing where to go and who to go at the right time is very important in medicine.
Right.
To be able to get the correct health care for you.
Right, and that's what a GP does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's actually a quote that I wanted to say, if you have a little bit of time.
Sure.
It was in a recent article in The New Yorker by Dr. Atul Gawande. He's a general and endocrine surgeon at Harvard Med School.
Okay.
And he actually described...
Pretty good place, by the way. Yeah.
excellent place.
Yeah.
He actually described the generalist in a very, very good analogy that I think will really hit home. So this is quoting him. Providing health care is like building a house. The task requires experts, expensive equipment and materials, and a huge amount of coordination. Imagine that instead of paying a contractor to pull a team together and keep them on track, you paid an electrician for every outlet he recommends, a plumber for every faucet, and a carpenter for every cabinet. Would you be surprised if you got a house with 1,000 outlets, faucets, and cabinets at 3 times the cost you expected, and then the whole thing fell apart a couple of years later? Getting the country's best electrician on the job, well, he trained at Harvard, somebody tells you, isn't going to solve the problem, nor will changing the person who writes him the check. I think that's very apt for what we're going through right now.
Yeah.
And I think if people understand it that way, they'll understand it's important to go through the route.
Yeah.
No one's preventing healthcare at all.
Yeah. And the other thing is, especially here in the Hartford area, we've got this problem with minority care just isn't measuring up for a number of reasons, but a lot of it is simple communication.
Right.
And you don't get that with specialists as much as you do with a GP.
Right. And usually, I can't say for everyone, but general practitioners, you know, we get our 15 minutes per patient, which I know sometimes isn't adequate.
Mm-hmm.
But to those visits, you're more likely to have family members there who are present. You know, we have we have our so-called blue phones in the offices that have over 250 languages, and they have interpreters. So we're able to, I think, communicate a little bit more efficiently, and we have a little bit of that extra time to spend with the patient. And I think it is important. So that at least,
because it can be very simple misunderstandings that can have really
big consequences.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing is, if we had a good understanding of the patient, we're also we'll also be sending a letter to the specialist with all that information.
Okay.
You know, so I think it's a multi-tiered approach which ensures that the information will get passed.
All right, very good. Our guest for the first segment of the show, Dr. Runjan Misra, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.